Quackenbush. Kelly Gramlich. It's Out of Bounds on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clinton, I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
Social experiments. USA. 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 USA.
Okay, okay. USA. You know, what does that even prove, okay? You chant anything, people will join in. Canada! 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 Okay, they won't chant anything.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
What is Chandler Bing's job?
Oh, gosh. This has something to do with numbers and processing. Well, yeah, it carries a briefcase.
Yeah. 10 seconds. You need this or you lose the game.
It has something to do with transponding. Oh, he's a transponster.
Like you stole something, Mr. Bosley?
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De Sean Watson, pase, touchdown! Touchdown, Clemson! Renzo! Con un segundo!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. The golden scepter is ours. Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years and their third overall.
Now, Kwok and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. It is Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Priority One Security Studios, where security is the first priority. Priority, the number one, security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. Hour one of the program brought to you by our friends at First Team Sports. If you ain't first, you're last, which means you're also not Clemson. First Team Sports, 2520 Woodhampton Boulevard in Greenville. Go by and see them. They have deals out the wazoo. They have more deals than Clemson scored points on Alabama in the national championship game. That's a fact.
It's a lot of deals.
It's a lot of deals.
It's like 45 deals.
How are you today, Kelly? 45 plus.
45 plus.
At least 45.
Kwok, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. We got a big win last night with the Clemson men. We can talk about that. Felt really good to see them get back in the win column, of course. And then we've got the game of the century tonight, Kwok.
You want to tell the people? If you're just joining us, you want to tell the people?
Am I exaggerating? Sure.
Yeah. A little bit.
It's possible. But the Lady Tigers play Georgia Tech tonight in hopes of winning four straight ACC games. They attempt to do that against the Jackets. 7 o'clock in Little John Coliseum.
We talked about yesterday how Clemson plays Georgia Tech in basketball each of the...
All the time.
Like the next 2 days, basically. And, well, yeah. I mean, over the course of the year, you get four of those games. In a two-month span, it's a lot. And we talked about how some of the keys were similar both ways. Just similar keys for both games, similar styles you expect. I'll be honest, in the game last night, I expected it to be a little lower scoring from Clemson's standpoint. I mean, I think you got to give props to the Tigers, who really hadn't played a good offensive game in 3 weeks. Lipscomb, maybe, although that was a high position. Maybe South Carolina is the last time they truly played a great offensive game. In fact, this is the first time since the South Carolina game that they averaged more than 1 point per possession. So if you look at it that way, they had four subpar or, you know, average games, something like that. And now they came out against a really good defensive team, and they punched Georgia Tech in the mouth early, and then they, I mean, they didn't trail. So even though they gave up some ground in the game, I thought the way Marquise Reed came out was really good. It's taken him, even the games he's played well, it's taken him a little time to get into the game. That I didn't remember a game where he started that well. I didn't remember a game where that was the case. And it was as must-win as it gets. Because you're now going on the road to face Florida State and NC State. And if you lose that game last night, you're staring, you know, obviously anything can happen. And Florida State and NC State are far from unbeatable. But it's hard to beat them. Clemson struggles in Tallahassee, even when they're up like 20. They struggled to close the game out last year. And then at NC State, Clemson doesn't have a great history either. So, I mean, if you lose that game, you're 0-4, going on the road to two tough environments, not feeling great about yourself. And it could very easily spiral. The season could. Because you could be staring 0-6 in the face, facing Pittsburgh at home, which is not a gimme win either, the way they're playing. So I thought a nice win last night.
Definitely. And, yeah, Clemson got off to such a hot start. Georgia Tech, you know, made up some ground and got back in the game. But the Tigers still held command of the basketball game in the second half. And Marquise Reed, you can't say enough about what he did, Kwok. He played all 40 minutes, by the way. He had one turnover in 40 minutes, which we know turnovers have been kind of a bugaboo for this Clemson team. Only 10 turnovers last night, which I thought was really important. And then he scored 30 points on 13 shots. 30 points on 13 shot attempts. Obviously did some damage at the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds. He had 4 steals. This may be the most complete game Marquise Reed has ever played in a Clemson uniform. I thought he was super. He was really good.
He really was fantastic. He did a good job defensively too. Like you said, 4 steals. I mean, and just one turnover in 40 minutes. I mean, 4 steals, one turnover for a guy who's, you know, creating his own shot. He scored 30 points on 13 shots. Just outstanding. And the other part of the offense yesterday, and this is something that had been missing a little bit, was that you got 9 assists from Shelton Mitchell. Now, they still assisted on less than half their baskets, which I would think if you're a team that's built on ball movement, you want that number in the 50s. You don't want to be in the 40% in terms of assists. That would still be bottom half of the country. But he got one guy dropping 9 dimes in 38 minutes, even though he's not scoring. He was very good in the distributor role. He couldn't get a shot, but didn't pout. You know what I mean? He was looking for his teammates constantly. I thought Javen White played a great game last night, 2 off the bench for Clemson.
Yes.
3 of 5. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds. He was defensively disruptive enough. And we haven't seen that a lot this year. He played a lot of zone. Brad Brownell said he's a work in progress defensively. Hadn't played a lot of man-to-man. He dealt with the bigs of Georgia Tech pretty well. Banks, he had, you know, Banks didn't give him a huge problem, I don't think, and that was to his credit because Banks is a very good player. And so I thought they got some contributions there. It was a nice win. I'm not going to say that they, you know, they like reset the whole course of their season, or, you know, they've jarred everybody awake or anything like that, but it's a nice win. And if you don't believe it's a nice win, lose the game and see what happens.
They handle business. That's what Clemson should do on their home floor against Georgia Tech. Clemson should win the majority of its home games in ACC play. And the 2 home games they've had, they played who I think is the best team in the country in Virginia and Georgia Tech. And they handle business. I saw a stat on the broadcast last night, Kwok, that Clemson has not lost to Georgia Tech in Little John since 2005.
Yeah, Clemson has oddly dominated Georgia Tech. Really, for most of Brad Brownell's tenure, they've dominated them both places.
Yeah,
all things considered, but that is a bit staggering that Georgia Tech hasn't been able to bring a team in
13 years
and win in 13 years. That's crazy. I don't know anything else jump out at you last night. I mean, One thing, and I'll say this as a quasi-negative, you've got a team in Georgia Tech that is probably, I mean, it's clearly a lower half team in the league.
Even though they went to Syracuse and won.
They did. They certainly handily did. You played Reed 40 minutes, and I know some of that is the guy's feeling really good. You played Reed 40 minutes, you played Scarra 40 minutes, you played Mitchell 38 minutes. I mean, they're on the floor a lot. They basically never came off the floor. I feel like this is a game where you want to get other guys some action. Because certainly, when you go to Tallahassee, I mean, I just don't think it's sustainable to play Reed 40 minutes and Scar 40 minutes and Mitchell 38 minutes in Tallahassee, in Raleigh. If you need those guys to combine for 118 minutes, I feel like that's a bad sign. You're going to need some bench. You're going to need a little bit of durability from the bench to not just stay out of foul trouble and stay productive, but to not, I mean, like you had John Newman last night, played 10 minutes. He was minus 11 in the game, plus minus. You had Trey Jameson played 5 minutes. He was minus 5 in the game. You're going to need some positive contributions from the bench moving forward.
Yeah, I see your point. But like we had talked about, and, you know, like they said on the broadcast as well, I think this was not news to anybody. Clemson was desperate.
Yeah.
You needed this win. This was a desperation situation. I think Clemson rose to the challenge. There's no doubt about it. But in a game that you know you need to win, I'm okay with it. You play Marquise Reed 40 minutes. He gives you 30 points. He plays incredibly well. You play Scara 40 minutes. As long as they can do it and still be effective, which we know they can, Mitchell plays 38 minutes. You got to do it.
I guess
you
can't
save stuff in the tank when you need this win that badly.
You're right about that. You're right about that. From a practical standpoint, you needed him out there. I just think there's going to be times this year where, like, you're going to need to. Brad Brownell knows this. He's going to need to sit them. He's going to need to have the luxury of taking him out of the game to some degree. And it just felt like last night was a good opportunity potentially to do that. Now, the way it worked out, like you said, you couldn't sit him last night. You couldn't. That guys weren't playing well enough in their stead. You really couldn't afford to do that. Plus, it's not like you got a quick turn. You've got a modest turnaround, we'll say. A modest turnaround. It's still early in the league schedule. And ultimately, hopefully, you'll have some chances to rest him a little bit down the line. I did that was, if there was any negative last night, that would be it. Certainly, you want to hold on to a lead, but it's basketball. If you go up by 19 early, you're probably not going to win by 30 against somebody in your league. They're probably going to make a run, and they're probably going to cut into it, which they did. Like Georgia Tech, to their credit, they went 10-0 in the last, you know, I think 2:40 or 3 minutes of the first half, and they cut the lead down to 5. And Clemson responded. And if you look at the second half, I mean, they still had a good second half, you know? They still had a very good second half. Even though they did not have the momentum necessarily going into the locker room. They were plus 5 in the first half, plus 7 in the second half. They actually ended up playing better.
What do you think overall about these 9 p.m. starts?
I think it is really tough here. I think it's really tough here, particularly when the opponent is not Duke, North Carolina, some draw team. Because it's so hard first of all, not for students. And the student turnout was pretty good last night, I thought. Students should come regardless. You're going to be up anyway, for crying out loud.
And they're giving you French toast sticks, so yeah. Why aren't you there? You know,
so
they really were. You got to give the students. I think the students have showed up this year.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And ultimately, it's hard to fill it with general admission because families with kids, it's hard to ask them to come out, particularly given the sprawl of Clemson fan. We talk about so many people come from Greenville for these games.
That's just a late start and a late return time, especially if you want to bring your kids. That's really difficult.
It's hard to do. It's hard to create a good atmosphere at Clemson for a 9 p.m. tip if you don't have a bunch of the other team's fans in the building. And that's not altogether a great thing either. So it's just kind of tough. And this will not be the last time that it is a factor. I mean, it's going to be a factor down the line again. I mean, we just encourage people to go out if you can. I think Brad Brownell understands even. Like, it's hard for families to, you know, bring their kids to a game. And if you, you know, even if you stay till, halftime is 10 o'clock. Well, by the time you get the kids home, you're going to bed at 11, something like that. It's hard to do that. You didn't see a lot of kids at the game.
Yeah, and that's why I really don't like these 9 p.m. tips. And I get that, you know, it has to do with TV. And Clemson wants to be on TV. And that's a positive. But I just don't think you should be playing basketball at 9 o'clock on a weeknight when your goal is to make sure that anybody and everybody can attend that game. I just feel like it's a disadvantage to Clemson and to the home team.
Yeah, it kind of is. But again, because of that disadvantage, It becomes a nice win to beat a team in Georgia Tech that has played better, for sure. And particularly the way that they scored on Georgia Tech's defense that had been very good, and as we talked about, was up there with the Syracuse of the world defensively. Zeke tweeted at me and said, we'll see if Reed does against a ranked team. I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of ranked teams that Marquise Reed drops 30 on. It wouldn't be as impressive as dropping on that defense. So I don't care if you got a number by your name. Or if you can guard, you can guard. Georgia Tech can guard.
You can doubt certain things about, you know, what's going on with Clemson basketball right now. If you're an opposing fan like our dear friend Zeke. But the one thing that I would never doubt is Marquise Reed's ability to score the basketball.
Even when
he can score the ball.
He struggled the last three. He shot like 35% in the last three games.
He can still
average 15
score the
a
ball.
Game.
Yes. He's going to score the ball.
David from Williamson said this. First time in Little John since renovations. Really enjoyed it. We'll be back. For 9 o'clock, I thought it was a nice crowd. Yeah, I mean, you have to lower a reasonable expectation for a crowd at 9 o'clock, given the logistics of Clemson, given where the fans are coming from. You just kind of have to do that. And so I thought it was fine last night. I thought it gave energy when energy was required. It certainly went above and beyond. I wouldn't say it's the best crowd of the year, for sure. But they bothered Georgia Tech a little bit. It was loud down there on the floor level. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree. A couple people pointed this out. We do need to say this. When my concern about playing the starters a bunch of minutes, this one from the 864, this is a good example here on the Health Dare text line. Transform your body in 9 days, I dare you. With the Health Dare, it says in the post-game interview, Coach Brad said he told the veteran leaders they'd have a good recovery week, but they were going to have the game to run it. So I think it was a test for their staying power, too. Yeah, that's very, very true. I think that's certainly the case, and they were almost given permission to empty the tank. They kind of planned to empty the tank in this game. So where I've got a concern, I think he's got a concern and addressed it. And like I said, ultimately, he didn't have a choice. Like, whether you want to or you don't, he didn't have a choice. Because Georgia Tech, you never could put them quite away enough to feel good about just kind of leaving the game alone. You still had to, like, manage the game some because you weren't up. You know, like, if you get up 15, 16, 18 points at the end, it's good. But you never could get up there. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Like what UVA did to Virginia Tech, you weren't up. Clemson wasn't up 20 at any point, right?
No. It was 19 was the largest lead, yeah. But that was midway through the first half. You know, if you could have pushed it to like 16 or 18, then you can sub a little differently, sure. You can get those guys out of the game, all that stuff. But Georgia Tech was just close enough, and they really, when they got a couple steals with that pressure late, there was they put a press on with about 2 minutes left, got a couple steals, forced some turnovers, forced Clemson to call timeout one time. And so you just never felt comfortable just leaving the game alone. So I get it from that standpoint, too. Texter gets in on the Health Dare text. I'm from the NC4. What's Zeke's beef with Clemson? Always finding a negative. He's the yeah, but guy. Look, I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to address that with Zeke. I don't know what the deal is with that. But I agree. I don't know why you find the negatives. And I don't know why people act like Georgia Tech can't guard because they can't shoot. That bothers me, Kelly. How, if a team can't shoot, we assume they can't do anything.
Tech could shoot the last three games.
They certainly could. They did not shoot well against Clemson last night. They didn't make a single three in the second half. They were 12 of 17 from 2 in the second half, but they were 0 of 4 from 3. They were only 4 of 11 for 3 in a game. Clemson forced them into 13 turnovers in a low possession game. That's pretty good for a Clemson team that doesn't force a ton of turnovers. I don't know. I got really nothing negative to say about Clemson last night. The only thing is they are going to have to, and Brad, I know that they are going to have to find times to rest those starters. Last night was not one. The starters played well. Scara played well. He had 9 points, selective, hit 3 threes, big shots, momentum threes, like you say, Kelly, big momentum threes. Thomas had 11 and 9, stayed out of foul trouble for the most part. Very good. All right, short break. We'll go to Dave in Simpsonville when we return. More Out of Bounds. Lots to discuss today. We got some quarterback information for you. A little NFL talk maybe. We got a bunch of stats from bowl season to discuss. Hump Day headlines from yesterday. We never got to. Out of Bounds returns in just a moment.
mice and rats are more active and bigger nuisances this time of the year. They want to be cozy in your home where it's nice and warm. We're here to kick them out. At Clark's, we specialize in keeping them where they belong. Call today to schedule an assessment on your home for rodent activity and possible entry points. Don't forget that we have one of the most detailed pest control services in the industry and also offer termite and wildlife control services. Call 864-233-2847 or visit clarkspest.com today.
O'Reilly. When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
If you want a Honda, Acura, Lexus, or Toyota, there's only one place to get your car, SUV, or truck serviced. That's First Class HALT. HALT stands for Honda, Acura, Lexus, and Toyota. That's all they do, and they do it well. And they back it up with some of the best warranties in the upstate. Be sure to check them out online. The latest specials can be found at firstclasshalt.com. That's firstclasshalt.com. Or visit them in Greenville at 1304 Roper Mountain Road or in Anderson at 4135 Clemson Boulevard. That's First Class HALT.
The Surgery Center at Pelham is a fresh approach to the outpatient surgery experience. First of all, we're a smaller facility, so we really are a true team where we make decisions together as a team to care for our patients the absolute best way possible. We are the ones that are successfully performing the total knee and hip replacements as outpatient surgery here in the Upstate. At the Surgery Center at Pelham, our team of medical professionals are with you every step of the way. From the time you enter our doors that morning to the time you walk out of our facility that afternoon. I'm Kathy Witham, one of the clinical directors at the Surgery Center at Pelham, and I want to personally invite you to come see us and take a tour of our surgery center. Meet our wonderful staff and allow us to answer any questions you might have about total knee or total hip replacement surgery. We're just different from everybody else. You'll be impressed. The Surgery Center at Pelham, where we're doing amazing things to improve your surgical experience.
Westminster Vision is now opening a third location on Highway 28 in Pendleton next to State Farm Insurance. This new office will offer even more state-of-the-art medical eye care along with the professional one-on-one eyeglass service we are so proud of. There's a large selection of frames as well as all types of contact lenses, including specialty and custom designs. We'd like to thank our patients and customers who have made this possible. Come by and see us or call 654-4141 for an appointment.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Ain't much difference between winning and losing, except for how the outside world treats you.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Tell me it's a look on the glass. Union been on strike.
You know, before we get to Dave's call, I have to say, we reacted in real time to the Jalen Hurts news yesterday.
We got mad. I still don't know why we were mad.
Well, it's...
I mean, I kind of know.
You know, we probably shouldn't be mad because... You know why we're mad? Because people think this is something it's not.
Right.
Because people do not use their rational brains to process this information. He cannot throw. He cannot throw.
I think, for me personally, it's less about Jalen Hurts and... You know, disdain for Jalen Hurts because I don't really feel any type of way towards Jalen Hurts. He seems like a nice enough dude and a decent enough quarterback. But just the idea that you're going to insinuate that you put him in Oklahoma system and boom, he's going to win a Heisman. To me, that's disingenuous. Our word of the week, Kwok, because it just implies that Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray were products of the system and just lucked into Heisman trophies.
I just tweeted.
And they are incredible college quarterbacks.
Yes, 100%. And attack like Lincoln Riley took two dullards and made him into Heisman Trophy winners. Like, he can take this guy, make him a Heisman Trophy winner. You're overvaluing intangibles in Heisman Trophy. You have to actually be able to do quarterback stuff. You have to actually, like the Naismith Award. You know what you have to be able to do? Like, score the ball. You can't just have outstanding leadership ability or, like, be on that team that wins the championship. You can't just do that and win awards.
JT Barrett would have won a Heisman Trophy because he was and still is the greatest leader of our generation until Jalen Hurts showed up.
Also, there's this notion that, like, Saban just doesn't coach quarterbacks. Like, I saw this from a couple people where they're like, oh, well, now he's going to be coached up by Riley. We know Saban, you know, that he doesn't know how to develop quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. What is that? Like, he doesn't have anybody coaching up quarterbacks? I mean, I get it. That's not been priority one for him, priority one security studios. It's not been the first priority for him. But to act like there's nobody in there, come on. I see you saw my tweet, too. I was saving that just for you. I saved it just for you. I knew that you.
The Harry Potter tweet?
Yesterday. Yeah. Lincoln Riley's new quarterback coach. Looking forward to the challenge.
Professor Snape.
This hour brought to you by our friends at Lightstream. The holiday season's over. It's a brand new year, but guess what's not over? Your liability to your credit card company is not over. And because of that, if you've been thinking about the credit cards used over the holidays, you can make your New Year's resolution solving this issue by lowering your interest rate and saving with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with autopay and save thousands in interest. Look, the rate's fixed. Rates rise. Your low rate is not going to budge. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. The application is 100% online and there are no fees. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a low rate and an easy process, and they're right. They're absolutely right. I would encourage you, go to the website. It doesn't take long. It's an easy-to-navigate website. I would highly recommend this service if you've got those credit card bills piling up from the holidays. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get it, go to lightstream.com/OOB. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/OOB. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offer subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OOB for more information. Let's go to Dave in Simpsonville now. 654-ROAR is the number on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good afternoon, Quack and Kelly. Thanks for getting me in. You know, sidebar real quick. I really thought Jalen would have gone to Maryland. Maryland, you saw their quarterback this year. I mean, he is a Jalen Hurts type quarterback. Run first, pass if you have to, and even his passes are not all that great. So that would have been an upgrade for Maryland's program. I mean, you go back and look at the Ohio State game to see where that shortcoming was, and maybe Jalen makes a difference in that game. So that really surprised me, him going to Oklahoma with them predicated on the pass and really trying to be speed in that offense.
Well, but, I'll say this real quick just to that point, because Kelly and I disagree on this, but I think you're making my point, which is it seems like the Maryland offense would allow him to play more. Now, one thing about the Maryland offense, and we don't know exactly what it'll look like under Mike Locksley. We don't know if Jalen Hurts even likes Mike Locksley or Dan Enos. We basically were making those assumptions because he visited those two places and because they coached him at Alabama. He may not like the way that Locksley runs offense. But I'm sure what Jalen Hurts is wanting to do is to stretch himself somewhat because he knows how he's been pigeonholed. He knows what people like me and people like Kelly are mad about is that he thinks he can throw the ball. And presumably Oklahoma does too. And he's trying to prove us wrong. He can do that better at Oklahoma than he can in Maryland. Now, with that said, I think he's in for a rude awakening when he gets there. And I'm not sure, ultimately, that he's got a full understanding of exactly what's happening. I'm not sure that they've told him the whole truth there because I truly believe that they want this freshman kid to play and that he is merely a placeholder for them. You know, maybe it's not the case. Maybe he fools us all, but I sort of agree with your point there.
Well, you know, what you guys have all talked about from Mickey on up to Walt is that the Big 12 has no defense. So what better place to show your passing ability, your acumen, than a place that can't really defend and you can blow, you're going to have basketball scores anyway. So, you know, that might be a great place for him after all. You just never know. So it's going to be interesting to see next season. I'd love to hear Oklahoma's schedule when you've got time today to see kind of what they look like going through the year. But switch over to basketball. I really agree with you. 9 o'clock games are just they're very hard to get to. I don't care if you're downtown Chapel Hill. 9 o'clock games are just not, you know, great on a work night. If you want to do it Saturday and Friday night, those are great because everybody's going to stay up late. But last night's win, I thought, was a huge win. It was a great win for his Clemson program, who I feel like was kind of iffy in the confidence. You know, you play a tough Virginia team within 4 points going into half, and then that thing automatically blows up to a 20-point deficit there at half, I mean, at the end of the game. So, you know, these guys were really thin on confidence. And that's where point of my call. Do you think that this team has the leadership of a Gabe DeVoe and a Dante Grantham that we had last year? Even a one-legged Dante Grantham, he's on the bench encouraging. I don't see that type of player leadership. Am I not looking correctly, or do you see that these guys are still trying to grow into their roles? And I'll take them off the air.
All right. Thanks very much, Dave. We appreciate it. Dave threw out a bunch of stuff there. I want to address the thing he said last first. I don't think it's a strong it's as strong a core of leadership as you have when you had Grantham and DeVoe. I don't think people really understand, and I'm not sure I really understood until probably when the season began and we started playing games how good of a leader Dante Grantham was. Listening to just random anecdotes from people looking back on, you know, like I remember when. You know, when they were at this spot last year and Dante did this, or I remember when the team was doing this and Dante said this and it really helped everybody around. I mean, I think I've heard from maybe 5 or 6 people in the last month, just like a story here and there about Dante Grantham that just, when you put them all together, it just paints a picture of a sort of an uncommon leader. Gabe DeVoe was an on the floor leader who was tough and who gave you a weapon that you have not replaced and that most teams don't have, which is a guy that can stand way over there and chuck the ball and reliably make them. So you lose both of those guys, I think, on the floor leadership and in the locker room leadership. It creates a void. Not every program is going to just have a guy to just, like, rise up. I mean, Tom Izzo doesn't always have a leader to rise up. You know, Mike Krzyzewski doesn't always have a leader to rise up in there, you know? Even the best rosters don't always have that guy.
Right, and I think, you know, I've heard those stories, too, about Dante, especially recently. I don't know why that's happened, but... I think it's safe to say that Dante Grantham is might be the Coach Brownell's favorite player he's ever coached. Like, I think it's up there and is one of the best leaders that Brownell's ever coached. And so I think the issue too, though, Kwok, is when you have a guy like Grantham and he leaves, you're thinking, okay, who's going to step up? But Reed, Mitchell, Eli, all those guys, every year they've been at Clemson, they were there with Grantham. So they were never really called upon to fill his role because he was there. You know, it's not like he was a senior when they were a freshman. He taught them some things. He moved on. They're basically the same age. I'm pretty sure Marquise Reed and Shelton Mitchell might be older than Grantham, technically.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, sitting out a year and all that. So they, in terms of the, you know, vocal aspect of leadership, they always could defer because he was always on the roster with them, always on the same team. And now you can't do that. And we know it's tough to make a guy who's not very vocal just change and boom, become a vocal leader. We saw with Rod Hall a little bit. He was a good leader in terms of setting an example, and he played his butt off, and he was a great defender, and he was that Clemson grit, hard-nosed kind of player, but he just wasn't vocal, and it just wasn't going to happen. And sometimes that's just the makeup of roster. Sometimes you just don't have vocal leaders, and then it can turn out to be an issue.
Yeah, I would agree. And you can tell, I mean, I was having this conversation with someone last night. I think some of the issues in three-point defense are communication issues. And you can see over the last maybe 2 or 3 games, like you can tell they're a little bit better on the same page in that regard. They're switching when they're supposed to switch, and they're helping when they're supposed to help. And it just looks a little more jointed, shall we say, as opposed to the disjointed nature of it in games such as, for instance, Mississippi State, where guys were getting sort of left because the Like, ball screen defense wasn't great and things like that. And some of that is just communication. And when you have two guys that communicate, like DeVoe, who wasn't, like, loud, but he communicated well. He's a good talker on the perimeter. And he also could fight through a screen. I mean, he's bulky enough size-wise to be able to fight through a screen. And it really helps you as a coach, too. And it helps your teammates as well. And then when you have a guy who communicates like Grantham, and you lose that, again, you not everybody just has those tools available to just, like, walk right in and be like, all right, now who's going to be the loud guy? Me! All right, who's going to be the fight through screen? Me! You don't always have it.
The other part, too, is, you know, I think Grantham developed into that leader. I don't think he was that way necessarily as a freshman and sophomore. And, again, he had to step up and fill that role when certain guys graduated, when Blossom game left and that kind of thing. And when you have all these guys that were the same age and played together forever, I think Reed and Mitchell just got used to, okay, Grantham's the vocal guy and we have our certain roles. And then he's gone and now it was just a completely different situation.
Yeah, I also think there was this idea that Amir Sims was going to become Dante Grantham. But one thing we didn't point, and you just said it, One thing we didn't figure into that equation is that Dante Grantham as a sophomore wasn't Dante Grantham either.
No, not at all.
So I think Amir Sims is kind of on a normal learning curve. Sometimes we wish that he would be more assertive, or we wish that he wouldn't totally, you know, disappear in games. We wish that he would get down and rebound a little bit. You've heard that a bunch, and we talked about ourselves, and the coaches have talked about it. We understand that. But he is still on a learning curve where you didn't have a senior trying to step up and replace Grantham. You had a sophomore. And lest we forget, people were unsure about whether Grantham was going to step up into Jahron Blossom game shoes because Grantham kind of was taking a back seat when JB was here.
Let's all be honest with ourselves, Kwok. Grantham had a great senior year, and it is an absolute tragedy that he tore his ACL and wasn't able to finish that year because he was playing great basketball. People killed Dante Grantham as a junior.
He's too passive. Saying the same stuff they're saying now about Sims.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. 100%.
I mean, the fans were, you know, he looks like a great basketball player. He has the size. He has the body. But it just took him a little while. And I think that's the same thing with Sims. I think people just look back at Grantham and say, oh, remember, you know, his senior year, and they forget about the rest of it.
Yeah, look, I agree.
He didn't just show up that way.
Maybe we should have been more mindful of that. Perhaps. We were a bit irresponsible in not pointing out some of those things. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more basketball. There were some interesting results last night. We also got a ton of football to discuss today. Plenty, plenty of stuff. Plus, all the hump day headlines from yesterday that we didn't get to. We'll get to those on the other side as well. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
This Tuesday, the Tigers hit the road and travel to Tallahassee to take on Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles in this key ACC matchup in hopes of bringing home a victory. Pre-game starts at 6:30 p.m. with a 7 p.m. first tip right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
It's every basketball game this season from first tip to last buzzer right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake. Just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Checking in with Jana Candler, Realtor Extraordinaire with Berkshire Hathaway C. Dan Joyner. Jana, what do you think you've learned since becoming a realtor?
I've learned that being a good realtor is answering your phone, getting back to people in a very timely manner, and basically just handling the transaction so that they have nothing to worry about. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and their expectations and basically just taking care of them.
Jana, what has made you successful over the past year?
One of the things that sets me apart is my ability to take care of people. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and helping them get to the closing line. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate in the upstate, call me, Jana Candler, with Berkshire Hathaway Seed and Joiner at 864-313-6990. And as always, go Tigers.
A new year means great new opportunities to save big at George Coleman Ford and Traveler's Rest, like a 2018 F-150 XLT with four-wheel drive and heated seats, $13,000 off MSRP at just $37,960. Are you kidding me? That's why we always say, trucks cost less than Traveler's Rest. Get to George Coleman Ford and save big on this F-150 XLT right now. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
Everyone qualifies. Offer good through February 28th, 2019.
Another year has come and gone, and if you are ready to ring in the new year with a new look, Urban Nirvana is the place to be. Their professional stylists can give you a look that makes you feel your best, and when you feel your best, you can tackle anything. The spa is the place to start your new year off with a kind of refreshing, relaxing rejuvenation that can change your outlook. Get ready for the new year with Urban Nirvana. Two locations, MacBee Station and the Shops at Greenridge, or online at urbannirvana.com.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Takes a snap, here comes pressure, and he's hit it long. Xavier Thomas, hello number 3.
We are WCCP, 105.5, The Roar.
Hour one continues out of bounds. You know, when we were talking about Jalen Hurts a little bit ago, I do want to go to Oklahoma's schedule, and I want to talk Jalen Hurts because we can at least have a way too early preseason look at whether Oklahoma's a serious contender with Jalen Hurts.
Speaking of Oklahoma, did you see the headline that was making the rounds on Twitter today?
No.
From our dear friends at Saturday Down South, which is an SEC blog.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see that?
Oh, my. Will you read it, please? Because if I do, I will projectile vomit all over this microphone.
Let's see if they've kept it up there. Yeah, they have. Again, Quack, you can check out that ratio. 55 likes and 77 comments. So you'll go from there.
Bye, buddy.
They pose the ever-important question, who is the biggest playoff threat to the SEC? Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma or Trevor Lawrence and Clemson? One of these duos just beat Alabama by 44-16, however many 28 points. And one of these duos with a better quarterback just lost to Alabama by 2 scores. But yeah, that's the question.
First of all, the question that anybody is a threat. Okay, let me tell you something about a threat. What does that word imply? You know, I get really, like, I get super invested in words. Like, I'll read a sentence and pick apart the one word, right? Just the one word, what I mean? And because I think words are important. A threat implies that there has not been an action yet. You've just threatened action.
Right.
Clemson just beat the living crap out of the SEC. When's the last time Clemson lost to an SEC team that wasn't Alabama? It's been like 5 Deshaun's freshman year, Georgia, started 2014. Clemson hasn't lost to an SEC team in years. And yet you're going to say Clemson's a threat to the SEC? Are you serious? They're 2-2 against Alabama, buddy. That's more than a threat. If I bomb you and two of the bombs hit and two of them miss, am I a threat or am I a reality? I'm a reality. Clemson's a reality. Oklahoma's a threat to the SEC because they lost twice. Haven't beaten them. Haven't beaten them in the playoff. Clemson's not a threat. Please, give me a break in it. This assumes that the SEC is still king. This assumes that the SEC's programs, specifically Alabama and I guess Georgia, maybe LSU's in there. If they can score against Alabama this millennium, that'd be great. This is not reality. They are living in a fictitious fairyland. This is ridiculous. Right? I mean,
yes.
Clemson is not a threat to the SEC. Clemson is a problem. Right now, an actual problem. The Army has raided the castle. You're not a threat anymore. You've actually bombed the crap out of the SEC. Is that a threat? You did it.
It's just,
It grates my nerves.
It's SEC people pretending that nothing has changed. Pretending that what happened, 10 days ago, didn't actually happen. But it did. The biggest threat, if you just want to go by the definition of the word threat, Kwok, because like you said, a threat really hasn't manifested itself, then sure, maybe Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts is the biggest threat to you. But like you said, the reality is, I think you should be talking about who's the biggest threat to Clemson at this point.
Also, why is anyone but Alabama included in this? Like, think about, if they had just substituted the SEC for Alabama, like if they had just flipped those and said, who's the biggest threat to Alabama? I would still hate it because it's not what's actually happening. It's still an alternative universe fairyland.
But it would be a better way to talk about it because the only other SEC team that's made the playoff is Georgia that one time.
That one time, and have they won a playoff game? Has any SEC team won a playoff game but Alabama in the 5 years?
Georgia has, yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma. I just don't understand, Kelly. I just don't understand. Some of this, I mean, of course, the question's asked, and everyone's like, everyone's thinking Clemson. And then one guy didn't answer it. He just said what he'd like to see. The executive editor of the website, probably the guy who made the question. It's clearly Clemson, given this narrative. But the SEC is not the thing that's threatened. Did the SEC win the most recent championship?
That would be a no.
Is Alabama even going to be number one at the start of the year?
They better not be.
I wouldn't think so.
They might be.
So how can you say, this is like me, an invading army, being like, you know what? I feel threatened by the guy who's occupying the castle. No, he's in the castle. He's threatened by me. This is a total misread on the situation. I'm not even sure how to address this because it's so logically, factually, intellectually dishonest. You can't even address the fact that you would even have the thought process to come up with that question shows that you are a simpleton with five functional brain cells that didn't work right when you were trying to figure that out.
I think part of this too is that the SEC in some ways still want to claim Jalen Hurts. It's like they feel this affinity to him.
Oh, because, he's an SEC quarterback.
Because he's an SEC guy. He's an SEC grad. You know, they have the SEC graduate patch on his jersey. He's the greatest leader the Southeastern Conference has ever seen. Forget, move over Tim Tebow. It's Jalen Hurts.
You know, you can take Jalen Hurts. If you want that doo-doo sandwich quarterback as a part of your thing, if you want to adopt that guy, you be my guest. Look, I'll take the ACC quarterbacks if you want 9 of 17 for 78 yards. By the way, we got a couple texts on this that are just awful. Just the worst kind of people. This one says, from the 864, I think my biggest problem with your analysis of Jalen is that he, won on 85, won a bunch of games against some pretty good teams. He himself won the games. He also came really close to beating us 2 years ago, and I think he completed a few passes against us. He's no great thrower, but I think he can win some games. All right, here's a game that Jalen Hurts won. Here's a game that he won. At Vanderbilt, September 23rd, 2017. 9 of 17, 78 yards, no touchdowns. He won that. Next game, Ole Miss, 12 of 19, 197, two touchdowns, no picks. He won. Next game, at Texas A&M, 27-19 win. 13 of 22, 123 yards, one touchdown. He won that. Next game, Arkansas, 41-9 win. I'm glad Jalen Hurts played and nobody else because he was a very strong 12 of 19 for a gentleman's 155 yards, a touchdown and a pick. And then there was the playoff game he won against Clemson by scoring 24 outrageously wonderful gifted leadership points. 16 of 24, 120 yards and two touchdowns. He won that. Tell me a game that Jalen Hurts won, that he won. He didn't do diddly except manage the game the whole way. He managed like 80 quarters of football last season. I mean, it's a joke. He did not win those. He didn't cost you the game. He only threw one pick. He's not winning these games. He had one game where he threw for more than two touchdowns, and it was Mercer. He threw for three as a full-time starter in 2017.
He came in the Georgia game and got the ball in the 50.
That's true. Yeah, he went half the field. That's real good. You know, if people want to talk about that, he went 7 of 9 for 82 yards and a touchdown.
Those are almost, in that short little time, that those are probably his best numbers in terms of when you look at sample size and efficiency and all that.
He actually threw more interceptions last year as a backup than he did as a starter the year before, which is kind
that's,
of surprising.
That's one compliment I could give him. He does take care of the ball, but that's what a good game manager does. They take care of the ball.
This goes back to one of my pet peeves about people say that quarterbacks win games. Oh, boy, that was a gutty win for the quarterback who went 4 of 12 for 16 yards and a running back rushed for 300, and you won a game 9-6. What great NFL playoff win for the quarterback. It's absurd. It's absurd to say that Jalen Hurts is out there winning these games like he's putting up Kyler Murray numbers in Bama's offense or putting up Tua numbers in Bama's offense. It's absurd to say, you know what? It's absurd to say that Trevor Lawrence is winning games when Clemson's defense is giving up 3 or 6. That's a team game. Teams win. Half the time, you don't have the ball. If you're Alabama, you don't have the ball like 80% of the time because they're just going to hand it off. That bothers me. Does it bother you like it bothers me, Kelly?
Yeah, it bothers me because I think it bothers you more from the Jalen Hurts perspective, and it bothers me more that we are just glossing over what Baker Mayfield did, what Kyler Murray did, and pretending it was just your run-of-the-mill quarterback that happened to have a great coach. That is ridiculous.
Right.
I know Lincoln Riley wasn't at Oklahoma yet, but the last time Oklahoma had a game manager, his name was Trevor Knight, and they didn't do much.
We'll see Trevor Knight's
I think Jalen Hurts compares much more favorably to Trevor Knight than Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
Trevor Knight was 2014?
Yes.
Is that right?
He was the quarterback in the Russell Athletic Bowl, the Clemson-Oklahoma game in the Russell Athletic Bowl.
Was that before? That was before Baker Mayfield got there.
So
right?
Baker wasn't eligible. Because
right?
Back when you have to transfer. So back in the day when you transferred, you had to sit out a year.
That's right.
So interesting how that happened. Then Baker won the job from Trevor Knight in 2015. But Trevor Knight stayed on the team. Then he transferred to A&M for the 2016 year.
Trevor Knight in 2014 went 179 of 316. That's 56.6% for a gentleman's 2,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
He probably had a decent amount of rushing touchdowns, I would assume.
He did. The year before that, he and Blake Bell split time, the Belldozer. He completed 59% of the passes, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks. I mean, that's who we are.
If you want to compare Jalen Hurts to a recent Oklahoma quarterback, you compare him to Trevor Knight. And maybe if Trevor Knight had Lincoln Riley as an OC or a head coach, he would have been a little better. Sure. Possibly. But he would not have been morphed into a Heisman Trophy winner.
Baker Mayfield averaged 38 touchdowns in his 2 years. He had 76 touchdown passes.
Has Jalen Hurts thrown
Oklahoma.
38 total touchdowns in two
in his career?
Seasons plus backup work?
No. Of course not. He had 17 as a starter in 15 games. He's got like 24, 25, 26 touchdowns in a year at plus.
Well, his freshman year, he threw 23.
Freshman year, he threw a bunch. So we're talking 40, 45, something like that. 45 in 2+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield threw that in one season at Oklahoma. Let's quickly go through the schedule. Assuming Jalen Hurts the quarterback, we'll see if they win or lose these. Assuming what we can assume about these teams. Houston. First week, home game. They win that, right?
Win.
South Dakota.
The Coyotes.
The Coyotes.
Hey, hey, hey. Win.
At UCLA.
Win.
I think they win that one. Didn't they get a bye before they host Texas Tech?
Win.
At Kansas.
Win.
Texas, Cotton Bowl.
Loss.
I think they lose to Texas. Right now, Jalen Hurts versus Ellinger. This will be the first time in like 4 years that Texas has a better quarterback in the game. It might be longer than that.
Yeah. Oh,
Texas
first time
has a better quarterback
in a
the
long
game.
Time.
West Virginia after that.
Whew. Think of the drama with this one. Austin Kendall returns back to Norman.
Austin Kendall's not beating Lincoln Riley.
Oklahoma's going to win this game. I'm just saying there's going to be some drama.
At Kansas State.
Win.
Then they get a bye week. They face Iowa State.
Their nemesis.
Scene of the crime.
This might be the most losable game outside of outside of Texas. But I still say win.
I say they win. At Baylor.
Win.
This will be tricky because Baylor keeps getting a little better. At some point, Baylor's going to be good enough to push Oklahoma.
Baylor
I don't
has
think it's
pushed
next year.
Oklahoma.
Well, that's true. They made, what, they score 40
last year
against
them? They've been just crazy high-scoring games.
So I think as long as Matt Rule's there, they'll keep climbing and building. So I'll be intrigued to see what Baylor looks like in mid-November. But as of right now, I say win. TCU?
Win.
Who's
their quarterback?
The quarterback is Alex Delton
from Kansas State.
Who has double transferred this, maybe the first double transfer ever. He transferred to UTEP and then transferred to TCU, so that's nice.
And I would choose Fort Worth over El Paso.
And then at Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma owns Oklahoma State. That's a win.
You're going to have to be, in these rivalries, I've said this is my New Year's resolution, my second one. My first one is don't ever let us believe collectively that Clemson has a peer besides Alabama, because they don't. And then the second New Year's resolution is, on these rivalry games where one team owns the other, unless there is a decided, massive, huge chasm between the two, where it's not even close, you got to pick the team that never loses. So you pick Oklahoma there. So we're going like 12-0 for them in their regular season,
no,
right?
No, I had a loss to Texas.
Oh, yeah, lost to Texas, 11-1.
I think Oklahoma and Texas will play for the Big 12 again. Obviously, that game can determine possibly who makes the playoff. Possibly.
And then, you're taking Ellinger.